give a kid who it makes us honor, better, faster, stronger.
Obanai in the shotgun with Wheaton, takes the snap, rolls near side right, throws, it's caught! Touchdown, Greg Little, and the Browns lead!
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Here's Wheaton, play action fake, looking, throwing, wide open, touchdown, it's Obanaya!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
Call your shot Friday on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Call it, 216-578-08, or is it 0850?
That's I'm sticking with O. I don't.
I know.
Sorry.
Well, no, but a tweeter and a loyal listener questioned the O for zero. He says it really kind of drove him nuts or drives him nuts. So he's clearly a meticulous man when it comes to the English language, and I like that. I like those people.
I don't mind cutting out a syllable though, where I can do it. You know, zero or O. O's at the end of zero. And speaking of call your shots, I think it's important. I think the NFL taught us all an important lesson. Not to call your shot prematurely, because they made Andy Dalton the player of the month for October.
Yeah.
And yet he had another game to play in October last night, a game in which he threw three interceptions, including a pick six, that cost his team the game against the Miami Dolphins. They were the better team. I think it was very clear that they had every chance to win, and yet they threw the three interceptions. So Andy Dalton, a little bit of a premature designation as the player of the month for October.
And I'm not loving Andy's work at that goal line and the decisive play for that safety. I understand Cameron Wake did a tremendous job, and let's give him full props for jetting up and into Dalton's face and making the play. But there's got to be some level of awareness there when you're that close to the goal line.
Right.
And you're taking a five-step drop, and you know that a safety, game over. And it was game over. And it was a legit safety. In fact, though, Dalton's, it bothered me even more afterward that he seemed to be a little shaky on, like, the rule of where the ball has to be, breaking the plane and all this stuff. There was an awareness question there. I said it yesterday. Andy Dalton,
you put the
playing,
mush on him.
Well, I wasn't
you
trying
put
to
put the mush. Well, maybe I was let's
trying.
Go.
Maybe I was trying to put the mush on him. All right, yeah, the mush is on.
The mush is but, on. But, they lost. Let's go Browns.
Go Browns. It was really a wonderful thing. It was a pleasant surprise. I was expecting the Bengals to win that game, even
they
in overtime.
Have.
I said, look, the Dolphins aren't that good, and they're pushing them here, but the Bengals eventually are going to get serious for like 5 minutes and win this game. Didn't happen.
Well, you have the interception coming off, and that was actually a beautiful throw where he dropped it into Mohamed Sanu, got batted up, and got picked off. I'll tell you what, if that game happened to the Browns and they didn't review that Brian Hartline catch on the sideline, I would have been pissed. His second foot never touched the ground. He went out of bounds. That was incomplete, and that's on the replay guys at the top. At least take a look at that. That's a pretty important play in the game. But you know what? Since it didn't happen to the Browns and it happened to the division rival Bengals, great call. They were on the ball. I love it. And listen, all of a sudden now, the Browns have this game is massive on Sunday for a variety of reasons. Not just to say big brother, little brother, but in the division, the Browns have a chance here to get to one game back of a Bengals team that they've already beaten.
The door's open. The door's open for little brother to walk through.
Walk right on
and
through.
Walk through wearing.
Become a man.
Wearing brown and orange and become a man. It could be the coming out party for the brown and orange. Who knows? I feel good about this game. We've talked about that. We'll talk about it more today on a Call Your Shot Friday. And we're going to call this shot. We're going to give you the path to victory. That is what we do. Give you the path to victory as Brad Mellon, the equipment manager for the Browns, kind of walks his way through the
he's walking
area
the path
and gives
to
us
victory.
The salute, and he's walking the path to victory, gives us a little salute on the way out, but he is walking past our dog bowl here, and we want to hear from you via Twitter as well, @Browns_daily. We will also have for you Gerard Cherry. He's going to join the show in the second hour. We're going to do what's the other feature? Oh, we love to do this on Fridays, besides it being a Call Your Shot Friday. This is fun for us. Friday Forecast, a new feature that Dave DiNatale, our outstanding producer, put together. We'll hit that probably at the top of our second hour. Five questions, and Nathan and yours truly will answer those. And then Craig Robertson is going to join us right around 1:30 with Jameer Howerton. He sat down with him, got a little insight perspective for him. Big part of, not Craig himself necessarily, but the defense as a whole, a big part of what I see as the path to victory as we break that down in this show. Clearly, Nathan, defense, which was inspired with its second half effort, had maybe the epiphany, the come to Jesus moment, as Jim Donovan referred to it yesterday. I love that too. At halftime of last week's game in Kansas City, maybe and hopefully and probably it carries over.
It should, and it's got to be a confidence boost for this team to go into Kansas City, a team that had been winning with their defense, but their offense had been pretty solid too, to completely shut them down and know that they've been able to do it in the past to the Baltimore Ravens. The first half against that Ravens game, they held them to zero. So this is an opportunity, as I see it, for the Browns defense to make another statement, to get the job done, and I think that they can do it, and I think they know they can do it, and I think that's what's exciting. This is a great matchup for them. Yes, I know that the Ravens are coming off of their bye, but they've struggled to run the football. Joe Flacco does not have the weapons in the passing game that he once did. This is an opportunity for the Browns to say, you know what, we've been talking about the path to victory. Take away the top receiver, then you can handle the secondary guys. This is a week where they absolutely can handle the secondary guys. They need to do it. Keep the pressure on the quarterback, Joe Flacco. Limit Ray Rice, and they have an opportunity to really shut down an offense that, as I've said, has not generated more than two offensive touchdowns in a game in over five games. So they're struggling offensively. This is a good time, I think, for the Browns to get this Ravens team. I'm excited about it, and I'm excited about what this defense is going to do on Sunday.
Yeah, there's an entirely different feel for this team, I think, than what we saw earlier in this three-game skid, and it is officially that. It's a skid when you lose three in a row. But I think when you see the tone and tenor of what this team brought in its beginning of this week, coming off of that game in Kansas City, I think that's a big part of it. And I think the other part is just to look at what we saw last night. That has to be inspiring. If you and I and other Browns fans are fired up about the idea that the door to the division, to winning this division, is wide open.
It is.
And last night's game did that, and it reminded us that, hey, that was Cincinnati. That was the team that the Browns beat here. That is a team that the Browns can beat again there after the bye. You look at all of that, those elements, and consider how much improvement there is in this Browns team, how much more of a swagger or confidence there is, again, based on what we saw last week, based on primarily because Jason Campbell's at quarterback. And again, that reference to him, I think it was Jim Donovan yesterday, called him the adult at quarterback. That feeling of you've got competence, you've got a leader, you've got a true commander, and this team hasn't had that. It just really hasn't had that. And to know that it's getting that now at midseason is huge.
It is huge, and it's a calming presence to everybody. This is a guy who's seen it, who's been in every situation, and, you know, it's interesting because it's a new Baltimore Ravens team, too, and I know Joe Hayden's gotten a little bit of heat for saying that they're not the same Ravens, but they're not. Ray Lewis and Ed Reed are not there. That, by definition, these are not the same Ravens that the Cleveland Browns have dealt with unsuccessfully the last 5 years here at home. It's a new time. It's a new opportunity. The Ravens are vulnerable. The Browns know the Ravens are vulnerable. The Ravens have to be having somewhat of a crisis of confidence after losing three of their last four by a grand total of 8 points. They have not been able to get the job done at the moments that have been the most critical. And this Browns team is a team that's won some close games. Now, they were not able to do so last week on the road, but this is at home now. I know that the dog pound is going to be loud. I know the Browns fans are going to be out there. They're going to be cheering on this team because this is an important game. This is a massive game now. This isn't just a statement game in terms of where we are for the future. This Cincinnati Bengals loss, I think, should galvanize this team and know that they have something, a chance to do something very important on Sunday, more important than just beating the Ravens and sending a message, something that says, hey, we are in this to go ahead and try to win this AFC North this year, which is right for the taking.
This is a here and now situation, 100%, because we've spent a lot of discussion on this show. We spent a lot of our daily discussion about the Browns talking about what 2014 might bring, especially May of 2014 when this team drafts. And that's a legitimate topic to discuss. It's always there in the background. But I think this week, I think Sunday, it can be put aside for the discussion of the here and now. Because I don't think the Browns are built to be a playoff team in the classic sense of what you want a playoff team to be. There are enough holes, there are enough question marks for me to pull back and say, not quite there yet. But I will say that circumstances circumstances in this division, and that's all you can go by week to week in this league. The unforeseen happens and different things go on. And now you're sitting there saying, this is about this year. This is about doing something. And that, again, is the only focus. Remember, it's two separate conversations. Talking about 2014 is something we do. Talking about each game and the focus of each week and the chance to do something, be a playoff team, go as far as you can go, that's a discussion that the players and coaches have every day. That's their existence. That's all they care about. They're not in the draft is the last thing on Rob Chudzinski's mind. He's got no thought about the draft. You can't even bringing it up to him is silly and stupid. Bringing it up to a player on this team, silly, stupid. They don't care. The rest of us can say, well, they can fill this quarterback hole. They can address wide receiver. They can do some stuff for their offensive line. Great. That's our fodder. That's our material and discussion. Sure. That is not what this team is thinking about. This team is thinking about a chance, and it's got a chance.
I love the fact that there is really a viable brass ring that this team can grab right now that can push all offseason discussions to the offseason, which is what I would like, and I'm sure you would like as well, and I know everybody in this building would like. So, yeah, this is an important game. And the fact that and I think these guys know it, the fact that the Bengals lost last night is massive because now you're just 1 week away. You know you get to play the Bengals again and have an opportunity to go against a team that's got to be feeling a little bit vulnerable. By the way, not only did the Bengals lose the game, they lost their best player, Geno Atkins. Yes. And you don't want to see anybody get injured. Geno Atkins, torn ACL, the defensive tackle, maybe the most dominant defensive tackle in the NFL. He's done for the season.
That's worse than the actual loss.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. They would have taken the loss if they could keep Geno.
Absolutely. And now they're going to go and they're going to play a very tough, you know, Baltimore Ravens team in week number 10 in Baltimore. Then they get the Cleveland Browns. So a lot can happen here in these next couple of weeks. The Browns, though, it all starts for this Browns team and for what you want to see with going out there, First Energy Stadium, taking care of business this Sunday against the Baltimore Ravens. And we'll outline the path to victory. I think these players know that they can beat this team. I think when you lose a guy like Ray Lewis and you lose Ed Reed, you lose a little bit of the mystique that came with that team.
No question.
There's no doubt. So this is this is a team that these guys know they can beat, and that's what I'm excited about, and I just want to see them do it this Sunday.
No, they knew that in the previous game. And for the record, Italian food was served in our cafeteria today. I'm fired up.
If you can't tell.
I had the marinara and with the stewed tomatoes, and they had turkey meatballs. I'm a big turkey meatball fan.
Me too.
It's just a great way to go. I know some people are very particular and say, no, I can't. Can I have all beef in my meatballs? No, turkey works.
It does work.
Turkey's great. My wife makes the best turkey meatballs in the history of the world, but these are pretty good.
They're pretty good.
And don't tell my mother I just said that. No, boy, I'm in trouble now.
That's all right.
Damn it. Anyway, that was supposed to be just between us. But anyway, they are great. My mom's a tremendous cook as well.
Brad Mellon, I think he's becoming a big fan of this show.
Oh,
Mellon just wants
to come in the studio and talk some
he's
equipment.
Invited. Yeah.
Actually,
have him in.
I was going to say, in all seriousness, to talk what goes on behind the scenes of this team and the equipment and the movement. And I thought one of the best, again, football programs, not because it involved the Browns, but the whole road-tested series that Travel Channel / NFL Network ran last year, and Brad was a big fixture in that whole series because
it was
about the behind-the-scenes. It was telling that story of how you move a team and how you move equipment and all the details that no one even considers, thinks about when it comes to a football team. And he told that story along with his crew and others, and it was fascinating. And actually, for working for this team and being inside this building, I still learned some stuff that I didn't know before, and I have a whole new respect for those guys. And I sat with them. We were sitting next to each other on the charter going and coming from Kansas City. And, you know, you try not to talk too much shop with people, but I brought up the topics of, okay, tell me what the whole deal is here and what you have to prepare for and the different turf and all this other stuff. And you'd be amazed at the checklist. It's pretty fascinating.
You got to get a bunch of people, a bunch of equipment, secondary equipment, as you see, you know, if perhaps the spikes aren't the right length, people are slipping and sliding all over the field. You
and convince players that they need to wear the proper spikes because players,
they want speed.
You can't, just for the record, when you tell a guy you should have longer spikes on, sometimes the guy says, Yeah, no, I'm good. You really should go with this. And the player says, nah, I'm really good. I'm going to stick with what I got because, I don't know, what does he have? Is it more fashionable or does it give him a better feel or whatever that he thinks he has? Because the fact of the matter is you can't wrestle the player, tackle him, hold his, then pull his feet up and make him wear shoes that he's not putting on. You
Correct.
Can only suggest, and they're good at suggesting. They know, because they study not only the footwear, but the surface.
Right.
They do.
Yeah, and it's a big part of it, and he does a great job here, and he's a great guy. We got to get him on. I think maybe in the bye week we should get Brad in here to drop some knowledge on us.
I like
we
that.
Want you to drop knowledge on us as well. It is a Call Your Shot Friday on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So hit us up on the phones, 216-578-0850, of course, or on Twitter at Browns underscore
daily. Yeah, you said 50,
daily.
Though. Yeah, you did. That's
50,
okay.
I think, is okay.
50 works.
Yeah, I didn't say 5-0.
0850.
I like 0850.
I like 0850.
I did, too.
Yeah,
we're gonna go
you
with
know
it.
What? We're gonna
going
do it our way.
No decision.
We tried it out. I
want
to be as compliant as I can to our very fussy listeners, but that's a good thing. And, by the way, Twitter... at Browns underscore daily.
That's right. Okay. CBD, hit us up. Call Your Shot Friday. We'll be back with more. 'Cause she comes back for me, you're feeling.